Last Saturday, we began our series of presentations on what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And we started last week by presenting the fact that Seventh-day Adventists believe in the gospel, the good news that our salvation is a gift of grace from God that we receive by faith. Then last Wednesday evening, we talked about the relationship between obedience to God's laws and the gospel, that accepting the gospel as a gift does not mean that we can then ignore God's laws, and we do not obey God's laws as a way of somehow earning or deserving salvation. Our obedience is simply a way that we can express our love and gratitude to God for his gift of salvation. And God's laws are not meant to be a burden, but they are an opportunity for us to experience God's love in deeper and richer ways. That God wants us to have the abundant life, and the way that we can experience that is by following his commandments, which are all about love, loving him, loving each other. And most Christians believe that we need to obey God's laws, except for one, having to do with the Sabbath. I've heard many Christians say that that's the one commandment we don't need to obey today. So this morning, we are looking at Seventh-day Adventists believing in the seventh-day Sabbath and how that fits into our relationship with God. And we can begin with the question of how is it that most Christians worship on Sunday? It is estimated that there are 2 billion Christians in our world today. And of those 2 billion Christians, the best estimates put at maybe 20 million the number of Christians who worship on Sabbath. The official membership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide is about 16 million. But on any given Sabbath, there are more people in Seventh-day Adventist churches than just the official members. And so some of you who are our guests this morning would be included in that number. And when you add to that other denominations who also worship on Sabbath, such as Seventh-day Baptists and Worldwide Church of God, the number comes to about 20 million. 20 million out of 2 billion. About 1% of all Christians worship on Sabbath. How can 99% of Christians be wrong? How is that possible? Well, is the majority always right? At one time in our Earth's history, the vast majority of people believed that the Earth was flat. And today we look back on that and grin at how naive those people were in thinking the Earth was flat. Well, it wasn't much after that that people were saying the sun orbits our Earth. And it took a minority, men like Copernicus and Galileo, to correct that misunderstanding. But they were very clearly in the minority. Galileo, in fact, was punished by the church leaders of his day for believing that the Earth orbited the sun instead of vice versa. So there are examples from history of times when the majority was wrong. Could the majority also be wrong about the day of worship? There are many Christians who believe that the seventh-day Sabbath was given by God to the Jewish people. As Christians, we now worship on Sunday. Sabbath was for the Jews, Sunday's for the Christians. Well, when did Sabbath actually begin? Well, the Sabbath began at creation, before any Jew even existed. The Jewish nation traces its beginning to Abraham, and Abraham came many generations after creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we are told, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation. So Sabbath began at creation. From the very beginning, God called his creatures to worship him on Sabbath. I'd like to take a few moments and just briefly do an overview of the Sabbath as it is mentioned in Scripture. Beginning with the Old Testament, we can go to God's Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and in verses 8 through 11, notice what the Lord said. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, or your cattle, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this was commandment number 4 that the Lord had given of the Ten Commandments. And it is the only commandment that begins with the word remember, implying 2 things, that the Sabbath had already been in existence. And so God simply said, remember. Remember that I gave you the Sabbath. But it was also a way to encourage us to keep observing Sabbath, even beyond creation itself. We move to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we can begin by looking at the example of Jesus. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 16, referring to Jesus, Luke wrote, he came up to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. So Jesus gives us an example by worshiping on the Sabbath. And it wasn't just expected by Jesus that we would worship during his lifetime on Sabbath. It extends even beyond his life, following Jesus' ascension. Jesus said something in Matthew 24, and just to give you the context for what Jesus said here, Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple one day, and Jesus made the comment to his disciples that the day would come when this temple would be destroyed, to the point where not one stone would be left upon another. The disciples were so upset by this comment that they asked Jesus later, when is this going to happen? And in Matthew 24, Matthew records for us warning signs that Jesus gave as to when this event would happen. And it took place in the year 70 AD, about 37 years after the crucifixion of Jesus. And in telling them about this day, Jesus told his disciples, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. The day would come, Jesus said, when you will need to flee this city in order to avoid being destroyed and killed when the temple is leveled by your enemies. And pray that it not happen on a Sabbath day. We can also look at the example of the apostles, and specifically the example of Paul. It would stand to reason that if Jesus wanted us to change our day of worship, he would have given us some indication of that, or he would have certainly have told his apostles, his disciples, that the day of worship would change. But notice here in Acts chapter 13, Luke talks about Paul and some of his traveling companions, but they passed on from Perga and came to Antioch of Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went up into the synagogue and sat down. So Paul and the other apostles went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day as part of their worship. And he goes on to tell us how Paul stood up and preached to the people in the synagogue that Sabbath. And at the end, he continues, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered together to hear the word of God. So Paul and the apostles continued to gather in God's house on the Sabbath day, all throughout the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, the New Testament, we have Christians worshiping on Sabbath. But it goes even beyond biblical times, and even beyond our time as well. In Isaiah 66, verses 22 to 23, notice what Isaiah records for us. "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." This is Isaiah's description of the earth made new, of heaven itself. And notice he says that we will be worshiping God from Sabbath to Sabbath. So throughout eternity, we will be worshiping on Sabbath. What began at creation continued throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, to our day today, and will continue all throughout eternity. Now you can turn your page over to the back side, and the question that people will ask is, well, how can we be certain that our Saturday today really is the Sabbath? Isn't it possible that at some point in human history, we got our days mixed up, and what we think is the seventh day of the week today really is not? Well, I'd like to begin by responding to that with some passages from the Bible. Luke 23, verses 53 to 56, and this is Luke's description of the crucifixion of Jesus. At this point, Jesus has died, and they are removing his body from the cross. "Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." Notice what is happening here. Jesus has died. They take his body down from the cross, wrap it in the shroud, put it in the tomb, and go home to rest because of Sabbath. Luke continues in chapter 24, first three verses. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body." Why? Jesus had resurrected. Luke tells us that Jesus died on the day of preparation. And what day of the week is the day of preparation? For the Jewish people, it is Friday. And then it says the women went home and rested, and they rested on what day? The Sabbath. And Jesus rose on which day of the week? The first day. This is Easter weekend. The Christian world celebrated Good Friday yesterday, and tomorrow morning, many churches in our community throughout the world will be celebrating sunrise services to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus. Now, in all the years that I have been a pastor, I've had many people question whether Saturday really is the seventh day of the week. How do we really know that we are observing the true seventh day of the week when we keep Sabbath? I have never, ever had anyone question, is Sunday really the first day of the week? How do we really know we are observing Easter on the right day of the week? Well, if we're not sure about the seventh day being Sabbath, then we cannot be sure about the first day being Sunday, right? The Bible makes it clear to us that Saturday really is the seventh day. Sabbath is the seventh day. And when Christians observe Easter on Sunday, they are observing the first day of the week. So the Bible helps us in showing us that Saturday really is the seventh day. It is the Sabbath day. But have you heard the question about the calendar changing, that somehow things got mixed up then? Didn't the calendar change? Yes, it did, in the year 1582, and it was done by the Romans. It was done in the month of October, 1582, And what happened was, because of the way the calendar was and the solar year, they had to drop 5 days from the calendar. What happened was they changed the numberings of the days in a calendar month, but not the weekly cycle. In other words, what was October 15th, a Wednesday, the next day was Thursday, but it suddenly became October 19th. They changed the days of the calendar, but not the weekly cycle. We still do the same thing today, every 4 years. Every 4 years, we have a leap year. And in a leap year, what do we have? We add an extra day to the month of February, February 29th. Does that change the weekly cycle? No. Same thing in 1582. They changed the calendar, they changed the months, and the days in the month, but not the weekly cycle. So, does it really matter what day of the week we observe? Several years ago, I attended a conference, and one of the speakers at this conference was a person who has been named one of the 10 best preachers in the United States today. She's a best-selling author and obviously a popular speaker at conferences like the one I attended. In the course of one of her presentations, she mentioned a book that she was just publishing, that she had just written on the Sabbath. And she talked about what a precious gift God has given to us in the Sabbath day, and how important it is for us to set everything aside so that we can experience God's blessings in a very special way. And she concluded her remarks about her new book by saying, just make sure you pick a day. Any day of the week, it doesn't matter. Just make sure you make one day a Sabbath. Was she right? Well, consider Genesis 2, verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation. When God hallowed the Sabbath, seventh day, what does that mean? What does the word hallow mean? To make holy. I heard somebody say to sanctify. And to sanctify means the same thing, to make holy. So God made the seventh day holy. The question then becomes, how does God make something holy? For the answer to that, we can go to Exodus chapter 3. Most of you are familiar with this story. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is herding his father-in-law's sheep in the wilderness. He notices this bush in the distance that is on fire. But the fire is not consuming the bush. He goes up closer to this bush to find out what's going on with this strange phenomenon. And as he approaches, a voice speaks to him out of that fiery bush. It says, do not come near, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Now, what made that ground holy? God's presence. Isn't God present everywhere in our world, in the universe? Yes. Why did he say that ground was holy? Apparently, God was present there on that piece of earth in a way that was different from anywhere else in our world. And he told Moses to take his shoes off as a way of acknowledging that God was present there in a very special way. So God makes something holy by what? By his presence. And God makes the seventh day of the week holy by his presence. Is God with us all of the time? Yes. But apparently there is something special, something unique about his presence with us every seventh day. And God is inviting us to acknowledge that by keeping this day holy and by worshiping him. It is true, you can worship God any day of the week. and receive a blessing. But God is saying there is something special that will happen when you choose to acknowledge my presence every seventh day and worship me on that day. In the end, it is all about our relationship with God. From our scripture passage, Ezekiel 20, verse 12, the Lord said, "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I, the Lord, sanctify them. I, the Lord, am your God. Walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances and hallow my Sabbaths, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I, the Lord, am your God." The way that we can know that the Lord is our God is through our observance of Sabbath and how that observance of that holy day can make our relationship with him even more special. Again, we can worship God 7 days a week and be blessed, but there is something unique and something special that happens every seventh day. And for us to pick a different day would be a real mistake. It's like your best friend saying, "Let's meet and have lunch together on Wednesday." And you saying, "Well, okay, but Thursday works out better for me." And you show up Thursday instead. God is saying every seventh day, "Please come and let's be together and enjoy this special time together." If Saturday really is the Sabbath, then why do most Christians worship on Sunday? How is it that 99% of Christians in our world are worshiping on Sunday, when the Bible is so clear that the seventh day is the Sabbath that God has set aside for us to worship him? Well, I invite you to come back Wednesday evening starting at 7, and we will deal with this question and see how this change from worshiping on Sabbath to Sunday took place. And you might be surprised to hear about how that happened. When our children were still young, I don't remember if I heard this or I read this in a book, but I found out about a father who did something special for his children as a way of making their relationship with him special. As a way of celebrating his children's birthdays, the day before the birthday, he would take that child out for lunch to a restaurant that the child would choose. Just the father and that child. And I thought, this sounds like a really neat idea. So I started doing that with my children. Day before their birthday, that child and dad, we'd go out and have lunch together. Child would pick the restaurant. And with five children, going out five times a year, I went to Chuck E. Cheese more times than I preferred. But it ended up being a really, really special time. Just dad and that child. And in the end, as I look back, you know, it really didn't matter where we were or what we ate. It was just that chance to be together, alone. And God is offering us that opportunity, not once a year, but every week. He is saying, "How about we just spend this special time together?" Because in the end, if God can make a day holy, you know what? He can make me holy. And that is really thrilling. Because being holy is not about me trying to get rid of sin from my life. Being holy is all about letting God be present in me. Because if God is present in me, that makes me holy. He wants that relationship with us so that he can make us holy. And one of the best ways that can happen is by spending that time with him every Sabbath day. And if it's your desire to enter into that experience and say, "Yes, God, I want you to make me holy. I will spend this special time with you every Sabbath day. If that's your desire, would you just raise your hand? Amen. We're going to sing a song now about the Sabbath. And as you sing the words of this song, I hope that it will be a reflection of what you are feeling in your heart, and that this will be your prayer, that the Sabbath day will truly be special for you. Sandra?